Tom Swarbrick on LBC. Listen on your smart speaker. Just say, play LBC.
10 to 6, Friday evening, Tom Swarbrick here on LBC means, as you know, one thing. He's racking up the air miles by jetting hither, thither and yon, with many left wondering why he can't clean up the mess in his own country. From South Africa, alongside the Prime Minister, it's Simon Marks, American Week.
Tom, good evening from Johannesburg, where this weekend the G20 summit will be taking place. The Prime Minister arrived here this morning, but President Donald Trump did not, nor did Vice President J.D. Vance, whose assignment to attend the summit on behalf of the United States was upended just 2 weeks ago. Then, in an unprecedented fit of pique, his boss, the President, decided that nobody from his administration should attend this G20. So, a total U.S. government boycott is underway. Because, and I am not making this up, President Trump continues to believe that there is an unreported genocide taking place against whites in South Africa, even though there is not, and insists that Afrikaners are having their farms expropriated by the government without compensation under a new law here, even though that also has never happened. Here he is, doubling down as recently as Tuesday.
I'm not going to South Africa for the G20 because I think their policies on the extermination of people are unacceptable because South Africa has behaved extremely badly.
Of course, the South African government does not, in fact, have a policy of exterminating its own people, despite what President Trump said there. We are in a world of make-believe now, and we've reached the point where the G20 hosts this year have decided to send a very clear message to Washington and to other governments, ours included, that it's time to stand up to President Trump.
We will have a declaration. The talks are going extremely well. I'm confident we are moving towards a declaration.
South African President Cyril Ramaphosa yesterday pushing back after the Trump administration, which, let me remind you, is completely boycotting this G20 summit, nonetheless warned him not even to think about brokering a joint declaration with other world leaders by the end of the weekend. President Ramaphosa here reminding Donald Trump that you've got to be in it to win it.
We are now just dotting the I's and crossing the T's.
Okay, thank you, guys.
Well, without the United States, the whole process of the G20 is moving forward.
You will not be bullied.
We will not agree to be bullied. Thank you.
South Africa has come to the conclusion that for the next 3 years at least, it now has nothing to lose. Since January, Trump has incinerated the bilateral relationship between Washington and Pretoria. He hectored and lectured President Ramaphosa during the South African leader's visit to the White House in May. He has taken exception to the fact that Pretoria secured a war crimes indictment against Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu at the International Court of Justice. And bizarrely, the only refugees the United States is now accepting are white Afrikaners, for whom America's doors remain wide open. Little wonder that the country's Foreign Minister Ronald Lamola, this week in an interview with CNN, went so far as to accuse the American president of being a white supremacist.
You think Trump is pursuing a white supremacist agenda?
Yes, I think so. With the program to take the white Afrikaners from South Africa, it's a clear program to back up the issue of white supremacy. And when you look at the Geneva Convention, they don't fit the definition of a refugee.
Here in Johannesburg, China is now moving in and occupying the void left in America's wake. Their cars are selling like hotcakes across South Africa. The Chinese delegation is coming to the G20 bearing millions of dollars in developmental assistance to begin making up for the shutdown of the U.S. Agency for International Development. Until Elon Musk ordered it closed earlier this year, it was the biggest provider of humanitarian assistance for the entire African continent. The mood here, America has lost it, and it's time to stop pretending that you can find a way of navigating relations with a loopy US leader. Unless, of course, you are Mohammed bin Salman, the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia.
I believe, Mr. President, today and tomorrow we're going to announce that we are going to increase that $600 billion to almost $1 trillion of
investment.
On Tuesday, the man the CIA accuses of personally authorising the 2018 murder and dismemberment of Saudi American journalist Jamal Khashoggi was welcomed to the White House by an American president who could not have been more fawning and defensive of his very controversial guest.
Now you're saying to me now that the $600 billion will be $1 trillion.
Definitely.
I like that very much. I want to just tell you what an honor it is to be your friend, and I very much appreciate the investment of now $1 trillion, okay?
And when highly respected reporter Mary Bruce, the White House correspondent for ABC News, asked perfectly reasonable and legitimate questions of both President Trump and his Saudi guest, well, you can be the judge.
Is it appropriate, Mr. President, for your family to be doing business in Saudi Arabia while you're president? Is that a conflict of interest? And Your Royal Highness, the U.S. intelligence concluded that you orchestrated the brutal murder of a journalist. 9/11 families are furious that you are here in the Oval Office. Why should Americans trust
who are you?
You
with?
And the same to you, Mr. President.
Now, who are you with?
I'm with ABC News, sir.
You're with who?
ABC News, sir.
Fake news. ABC fake news. One of the worst. One of the worst in the business.
Now, let's just pause briefly to note that this was also the week when the president demeaned another female reporter, Catherine Lucy of Bloomberg, telling her to be quiet piggy when she asked a question he didn't like. His White House press corps is now swelled with propagandists working for right-wing channels and streaming outlets that are entirely supportive of him. And the more they throw softballs at him, the angrier he becomes when the occasional legitimate reporter manages to break through. Referring to Jamal Khashoggi, who remember was a US citizen brutally murdered in the Saudi consulate in Istanbul after writing articles the Crown Prince didn't like, President Trump disgracefully went on to sully his memory and repudiate the findings of US intelligence agents.
You're mentioning somebody that was extremely controversial. A lot of people didn't like that gentleman that you're talking about. Whether you like him or didn't like him, things happen. But he knew nothing about it, and we can leave it at that. You don't have to embarrass our guest by asking a question
it's
like
okay,
that.
It's just yes, Mr. President,
please, go ahead.
Allow me to answer. About the journalists, it's really painful to hear, anyone that been losing his life for, no real purpose or nothing illegal. Way, and it's been painful for us in Saudi Arabia. We've did all the right steps and we've improved our system to be sure that nothing happened like that, and it's painful and it's a huge mistake, and we are doing our best that this doesn't happen again.
Bit uncomfortable that for President Trump. Unlike US intelligence, he says Mohammed bin Salman had nothing to do with the chopping into pieces of Mr. Khashoggi. But the Crown Prince himself then said it was all a big mistake and he's taken steps to make sure it can never happen again. Talk about mixed messaging. Yesterday, President Trump himself appeared to endorse acts of political violence against his opponents. In a posting on social media, he described his Democratic Party critics as seditionists who should be charged with treason. And he approvingly reposted another message calling for them to be hanged. For those of you who have spent the last week on the dark side of the moon, you will be stunned to discover that since my last epistle, the president has engaged in a complete U-turn on the subject of Jeffrey Epstein. I know, just a week ago, he was desperately trying to persuade some of his fellow Republicans to abandon their support for the release to the public of all files relating to the deceased sex trafficking financier. For reasons that remained deeply obscure, he was moving heaven and earth to make sure that the documents remained under lock and key. But then, with a screech of tires and the realization that his effort wasn't working, the U-turn.
They can do whatever they want.
The president telling Republicans, go ahead, vote for the release of the documents. But there were caveats.
We'll give them everything. But don't talk about it too much, because honestly, it's really a Democrat problem. The Democrats were Epstein's friends, all of them. And it's a hoax. The whole thing is a hoax.
Now, just to clarify, in case you're confused, it's all a hoax, except for the bits that refer to the Democrats. All the stuff about former President Bill Clinton and former Treasury Secretary Larry Summers, who this week emulated Peter Mandelson's fall from grace, all of that stuff you can believe. But in the event that any documents or, heaven forfend, pictures of Donald Trump turn up in the files, they are all fake and concocted. But actually, don't worry about it, because Pam Bondi Mundy, Trump's lapdog attorney general, is going to make sure that you never see any document that incriminates her boss, the president.
We will continue to follow the law with maximum transparency while protecting victims.
You could drive a truck through the holes in that statement, as she indicated moments later, when suddenly she started talking rather unconvincingly about some new information that might actually prevent her from releasing the files.
Information, additional information, and again, we will continue to follow the law to investigate any leads. If there are any victims, we encourage all victims to come forward, and we will continue to provide maximum transparency under the law.
Maximum transparency, eh? We'll believe it when we see it. And many members of President Trump's Make America Great Again faithful aren't buying it for a second. They still think, with some justification, that a massive White House cover-up is still firmly underway. Well, this weekend, the Prime Minister will be here at the vast Nasrec Expo Centre on the outskirts of Johannesburg with one big question for him ahead. Will he support the South African President's efforts to deny President Trump the right to condition the outcome of a summit from which the US leader has withdrawn? Or will he risk a breach in his personal relationship with the American President, Tom, by backing a summit declaration that is anathema to the White House?
From Johannesburg, Simon Marks, American Week.